I'd like to turn to the gospel according to Mark, if you would, please. Mark chapter number 5. Thank you, Pastor, for the opportunity to stand in your stead this morning and proclaim God's word. Mark chapter number 5. And if you're able, would you stand in honor of God's word this morning? I'd like to read from verse number 21, and I'd need to read to the end of the chapter to set the context. And so if you would, you follow along as I read aloud this morning from Mark chapter number 5, picking up at verse number 21. The Bible says, "And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about him in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude throng thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace, and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, Be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered into where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which being interpreted, Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose, and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with a great astonishment. And he charged them that straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given to her to eat. This morning, as we draw our attention to this portion of Scripture, I'd like to preach on this subject, every need supplied. Every need supplied. May God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated if you would, please. It's been over 20 years now, and I can remember the time that my family gathered together at my brother Fred's house, and as we were there, all the family was gathered together for special occasion, and then, of course, we had a reunion time of all the children. I'm the oldest of 6 children and had a special time there with my mother and some activities that were going on that day. And when I visit my mom, she loves candy. One of her favorite candies are circus peanuts. Anybody know what a circus peanut is? Those orange gummy type things, you know. And now that we have our own 4 children have grown up, and then we have also now the opportunity to see grandchildren come upon the scene, we've been blessed with 11 grandsons. And they like candy as well. And circus peanuts are really fun to eat, but I remember at this particular time, it was a July day, nice and warm in the state of Indiana. And some of the children thought that they liked the candy too, that my mother liked, but they didn't really like it that well. So they put it into their mouth, and I guess you know what happens after that. If they don't like it, mom gets to hold it, or dad gets to hold it, or grandma and grandpa get to hold it, or something of that sort. And sometimes it just made its way to the ground. And on this particular day, I was walking around and my mother had these circus peanuts and she was so grateful because her oldest son brings those to her to spoil her when he goes to see her. And I remember this particular day, it was very warm out. They were cooking out on the grill and a fun time was going on. And I made my way out to watch my brother cook. And I said, how's things going? We talked about the family and such like. And I looked down and I noticed that the son had baked this circus peanut into the impediment of the sidewalk. And as I looked down there, I noticed that I saw this black ant walking away with part of the orange circus peanut. And I thought, this is kind of unique. This little ant is walking away with food. I guess he thinks it's pretty good. So off that he went. Didn't think much of it after that, you know, and I thought maybe I'll go in and get something to help clean this thing off the sidewalk. And I got sidetracked with all the rest of my family. And about 35, 40 minutes later, I went back out there and you'll never guess what happened. Not only was there one black ant out there, there were many black ants out there. And all of them were taking pieces of this orange circus peanut back to where they lived, wherever that was. And there's this great big trail, Pastor, of all these little black ants carrying this orange circus peanut in a little circle on the sidewalk, making their way back. And then I noticed also that one of the ants was carrying a piece of straw. Now, not a straw you would drink from, but a piece of straw. My brother had put plants out and things. And I'm thinking, why take a straw whenever you can have food? And I don't know what they were going to use the straw for, but I noticed that also this one that had this straw, when it came time, he dropped the straw and he traded it for the orange circus peanut. And I'm watching this. I'm just a college graduate, you know, and I'm thinking, this is amazing. You talk about liking science and history and things like that, you know, and botany and plants and looking around. And I'm seeing this little ant and I'm thinking, you know, there's got to be an illustration in this somehow. And so today there is, okay? As a preacher, anything that happens in your life can be a possible illustration for a sermon, okay? And here's my illustration. What happened was that that ant was blessed. That ant was blessed by food. That ant was blessed by the process of something that was exciting to him. He took it back to where he lived. And when he took it back to where he lived, he told all the other ants about it. Amen. He told all the other ants about it, and all the other ants made their way on the parade to get over there, and they picked up what the other ant had, and they took it back to where they lived. You say, that's not a very good illustration. Well, D.L. Moody said evangelism is one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. What we find this morning in this story of the life of Jesus is similar to this. Something happened. Jesus had been healing people everywhere. Everywhere he went, no matter who was brought to him, Jesus healed all of them, the Bible said. They thought their greatest need was something physical. They thought their greatest need was something to take care of them. They couldn't walk, they'd bring the lame. They couldn't see, they'd bring the blind. They'd bring all these people to Jesus. By the way, he was called the great physician. The great I am, the resurrection and the life. John calls him many things. He is the way, the truth, the life, and no man comes to the Father but by him. So we find Jesus now under the ministry of Mark. We find that he records here the story in chapter number 5 in particular about three unique situations. If I can say to you, they seem like they were hopeless situations. They seem like they were helpless situations. The first 20 verses of chapter number 5 tell us about the maniac of Gadara. I used to pastor years ago for 20 some years and I thought some of his relatives were part of my church. The maniac of, am I just kidding? I'm just trying to get you to smile in church, amen. But God can change people. Aren't you glad for that? The maniac of Gadara, Jesus went over there and for one purpose, he went over and that man got right with God. Not only were the demons cast out of him, but he was sitting and clothed and in his right mind, following God and serving him. And that's what happens when there's a transformation that takes place in your life. His need was to get rid of the demons, but there was more than the demons being cast out. God came in and God changed his life. And then another man in verse number 21 named Jairus had a 12-year-old daughter. She was sick, nigh unto death, but he knew who Jesus was. As a matter of fact, he was a ruler of a synagogue. He understood the importance of the master, the great teacher. He understood what was taking place. He had apparently heard that Jesus was doing miracles. doing all kinds of things. Don't know exactly how he found out about it, but he knew who Jesus was, and he made his way there and said, Lord, he said, if you'd come to my house, I know that you can heal my daughter. Her greatest need was a physical healing. And Jairus said, I want you to come. And Jesus said, I'll go. So he's on his journey now to his home. As he makes his way on this journey to his home, we find that there's a lady that comes among the throng. Many people followed him. And this lady comes up, and we don't really know a whole lot about her except what the text reveals. And I'd like to look at that this morning, if you would, please. So take your Bible, if you would, and find out what happened. Can you imagine now you're on your way to the situation of this girl who's going to die very soon if Jesus does not heal her as the great physician. And then somebody, this great throng of people come upon the scene, and this woman with an issue of blood, what that really means is there was a hemorrhaging on the inside. She had something, she was bleeding internally, and you could not see the problem, but she knew she had a problem. And let's see what happened. Look at verse number 21 to 24. It says, and Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Hey, wouldn't it be great if in the house of God, people followed Jesus like they should? In the house of God, that people would come and they would throng the doors of the house of God to hear the man of God preach. Not to lift up him, but to proclaim Jesus is the Savior and he can change people's lives. The word of God can help us. Look at verse 25. And a certain woman, doesn't mention her name, which had an issue of blood, how long? 12 years. So this woman, I want you to notice first of all this morning that this woman needed the help of Jesus. She needed the help of Jesus. Now, I know it's simplistic, but she needed the help of Jesus. She was basically described here with a plague of an issue of blood. And for 12 years in duration, she had this issue. Now, some of you may have physical infirmities. And I don't know how long you've had them. You may have been diagnosed recently with some other infirmity. But for 12 years, this lady had an issue of blood bleeding internally on the inside. We would call it in our day and age ulcers and probably hemorrhaging and couldn't cauterize it or something like that, you know, and so we're finding problem going on physically. But here we find for 12 years of duration, she's got a problem. Look at verse 26. And she had suffered many things of many physicians. If you're sick, you're going to see a lot of doctors, are you not? Hey, I know this happened back in the first century, but even today when people are sick, they need a physician. So we find that she's gone to the doctor, more than one doctor, many doctors. She'd suffered many things, had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, the Bible said, but rather grew worse. So there's a decline in her condition. Would you agree with me? There's a decline in her condition. For 12 years, she's been plagued with this problem, described as an issue of blood. She knew that Jesus could help her. You say, how do you know that? Well, look at the next verse, verse 27. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. Somebody like that little black ant that went back with that little bitty piece of the circus peanut and brought back the rest of the ants. Somebody that was healed apparently told this lady. Somebody's life that was changed apparently told this lady that every need you have can be supplied by the Lord Jesus. Jesus can change people's lives. So this woman understood this, and she was knowing in her heart. She said, I know that I need Jesus. And then after she heard of Jesus, number two, she knew that Jesus could help her. She knew that she could depend upon him to see a life transformed, to see a life that was changed. She had heard of Jesus. She knew that Jesus could give help to those who were hopeless. She knew that Jesus would be there. So when she promptly heard of Jesus, she made her way there. And notice, she did it persistently. Not only was it a quick situation, it was a persistent one. Look, if you went in verse 27, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. There's a throng of people. You agree? There's a great group of people here. A throng of people. She comes in the press behind. She touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. She knew so much about Jesus and his power that she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I have faith to believe that he can heal me just by touching his clothes. Now, I know that we live in a day and age where people keep saying the same thing, but those signs are gone. Amen. That's another sermon in itself. But in the time period of Jesus on the earth, he said that he would touch people's lives, and he met their needs by giving them bread. He met their needs by giving them shelter. He met their needs by giving them the gospel. He said in the Gospel of Mark, I came to preach the gospel to all the cities, not just a teacher, but a preacher. Yes, he was a miracle worker. Yes, he brought divine healing, but he changed people's lives spiritually as well. So we find here that every need was supplied. She was physically burdened. She was basically belittled. She couldn't worship with this issue of blood in the house of God. She was financially bankrupt. She'd spent all that she had. But she says, I know if I can get to Jesus, he can change things. Do you realize God's still in the changing lives? He's still in the changing people. So she goes to him and persistently she makes contact with Jesus. She went and touched the hem of his garment. She had great confidence in saying, if I can just do this, I know he has the power to change my life. He can supply what I need. He's the great physician. Look at verse 27 again. She touched his garment, verse 28. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up. She felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She had confidence that God had healed her right there on the spot. She touched the clothes and God healed her. That's great faith, is it not? Verse 30. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, I just want to put it on record here. This same miracle is found in the Gospel of Matthew and the Gospel of Luke. And this miracle records for us the fact that Jesus knew who it was. And he even says later in the passage here, he turned to her that had done it. And he said, who touched me? Now, if you study this out, the Word of God and the cross references verify, Pastor, that this is in the imperative tense, which means he kept saying, who touched me? Who touched me? He kept asking the question until somebody's going to confess. And so a lot of times, you know, you look at things, and as Pastor said this morning in the first part of the service today, that, you know, you look in the Bible, sometimes you run right past it. But there's a context here. There's a purpose behind this. Jesus was not trying to embarrass this woman. I can prove it to you. He was not trying to embarrass the woman. She came in fear and trembling before him and told him all the truth. You see, only she and Jesus knew that her life had been changed. Only she knew and Jesus knew that healing virtue had gone out of him. But the rest of the crowd didn't know this. And Jesus wanted her to know that you were not just changed physically, that your faith hath made thee whole. You're going to leave here a different person. Not only in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual realm. Every need she had was supplied at that day. The completeness of her cure is seen in that she not only knew she needed Jesus, not only did she go to see who he was, but she was made new when she met Jesus. She was made new when she touched Jesus. This great confession in her heart. Look, if you would, please. It says in verse number 31, his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude throng thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And so they're trying to calm things down by saying, no, there's a lot of people that are around here. And you want us to try to tell you who touched you? Well, that person that touched him knew who it was. And Jesus knew who they were. Hey, back in the book of Genesis, I remember talking about a situation where Adam and Eve had sinned against God. And they were hiding in the garden. And he said, Adam, where art thou? God knew exactly where he was. He's omniscient. And he said, I hid myself among the trees. Why? Because I ate from the tree you forbid us to eat from, and I'm naked and I'm ashamed. He tried to cover himself with fig leaves, and God said, who told thee that I was naked? The fact of the matter was, God knew all along what was taking place, but he wanted man to confess. This cure that took place was not to embarrass her, but it was showing, if I could say it like this, as Pastor said earlier, the fruit of her confession. She came trembling and told him the truth. And when she told him the truth, can you imagine folks around her saying, what happened to you? Something was going on the inside. You had an issue of blood for 12 years. The doctors have taken all your money. You're bankrupt physically. You don't have anything financially. You have no hope. But Jesus said, every need will be supplied in Jesus Christ. He understood that and she understood that. So he looked around to see her that had done, verse 32, this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. Told him all the truth. He understood what was going on. Verse 34. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. And not just the wholeness of her body being healed, because it goes on to elaborate by saying, go in peace and be whole of thy plague. So I believe what we see here is that her faith made her believe that she knew that if she got to Jesus, he could change her life. And that particular day, he changed her life. We don't find a lot in the Bible, Pastor, about this lady in the scriptures, but we do know this, that her life was transformed this day. Something took place that day that changed her life. And may I say this morning as lovingly as possible. If you've been saved by the grace of God, you should never get over it.
Amen.
You may not be perfect, and none of us are, but we are children of God. We're saved by the grace of God. We ought to be children of the King, understand who we are, and confess and not be ashamed of the fruit of our confession.
Amen.
Living for God, honoring Him, serving Him, being whole of the plague. Listen, she had an issue of blood on one day. She made her way in. She says, I know that I need help. And I know there's one that can help me, and his name is Jesus. And when she went and touched Jesus, she knew she was healed. Her whole life was transformed. And when you meet Jesus, my friend, you'll know that you've been healed. You'll know that your need is supplied. Listen, our greatest need in America is not to have a job. Our greatest need in America is not to have something that the government gives to us. The greatest need in America is Jesus Christ in our lives. The Word of God being brought forth, and men of God such as your pastor opening the book of God, proclaiming, thus saith the Lord, seeing lives changed and people transformed by the wonderful grace of God. Everybody in this room has issues. I realize that Jesus right now is not walking on this earth like he did in that first century story. But I'd like to make some application here today that can relate to Liberty Baptist Church and every believer here. Even though he doesn't walk in the flesh, the Bible says we are indwelt by the Spirit of God. The Holy Ghost of God indwells every believer, my friend, and He will lead us and guide us and teach us all His truth. He will put us on a path of righteousness. He will never, listen to me, the Holy Ghost of God will never lead us contrary to the Word of God. And the Word of God is brought forth, it'll transform our lives. If we don't look at it in a proper respect, we're going to find some chaos. Jesus said, and he was rejected at Nazareth. He was rejected at Capernaum, where he set up his headquarters in Galilee. He was rejected in cities, and he said, I could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. But faith can change things. As we heard this morning earlier, Pastor mentioned Hebrews 11, by faith, these people, they didn't have the Word of God, but by faith, they believed God. They believed God's declaration. They believed what God, we have the Holy Scriptures. We have the Word of God. We have the armor of God to go about us. The Holy Ghost of God in us. And in practical form, you've got a place to worship called Liberty Baptist Church. We can be more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We can be victorious in Jesus. Every need can be supplied in our lives. She had an issue of blood. Maybe your issue is that you're hindered by some heartache in your life that's brought unhappiness. Maybe some disease has been diagnosed in your life and you're devastated by it. God's grace is still sufficient. God's love is still evident. His mercy is still real. Maybe there's a worry upon your heart today that's wearying you from having that joy and that excitement in your life of serving God. Maybe some trial is tearing away today at your life and you know that you've been tempted by this time and time again and you just can't get victory over it. Every need can be supplied by the grace of God. He can give you victory in that. Confess your sin, repent of your sin, get right with God, and God will do a wonderful work in you. He can transform you. Let me make this application. Jesus, when he lived, and according to the Gospel of Matthew in the cross reference, he said in Matthew 11, it says, come unto me. Everybody rejected him. Nazareth, Capernaum, Bethsaida, all they'd rejected. Chorazin, all rejected him. But he says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly at heart. You shall find rest for your souls. He's trying to relate to us the importance of the need that we have can be supplied in the person of Jesus Christ. So let me give you this illustration and this application will be done today. The story that took place by the great healer back in that day will not happen the same way today because of the fact of the matter the Holy Spirit indwells the believer. He's still the divine healer, but he doesn't need somebody to touch us to do it. He can do it because he chooses to do it. He's a sovereign God. And whether he takes away our infirmities or our trials or our heartaches or our trouble is not the issue. You see, God knows exactly as a sovereign God what we need to face in our lives, what we're going through in our lives. And sometimes we're facing things in our life because of decisions we've made and the consequences that come from those decisions that we've made. So we have to make sure we understand there's this principle of sowing and reaping. And so if we make decisions and we sow some bad seed, you're going to have a crop, friends. And we need to make sure you can pray for crop failure all you want, but there's still going to be some seeds that are going to cultivate. There are going to be some consequences for those things. So what he says is, come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. And so you and I are just like this woman. We're invited to take our burdens and our cares and our concerns to Jesus. Very simply, we're invited to do it. As we do this,
We take them to Him. Now you say, well, what if I'm not a Christian? Well, if you're not a Christian, your greatest need is salvation. If you're here today and you're not part of the family of God, we can show you before you leave here today how much God loves you. He loves you so much, He sent His only begotten Son into the world that you might know Him. Paul said it, I believe, well, in Ephesians 2, verse number 1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in sins. The Bible talks about how we were corrupt outside the things of God. Verse 4, but God who is rich in mercy, for His great love, with He loved us, even we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? That in the ages to come, Paul said, He might show forth His exceeding power and grace. He's relating to us who we are in Him. He said, I can show you these things. I can transform your life. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not in heaven, but while we're on the earth. Transformed lives. This woman, you cannot tell me she didn't tell somebody, even though it's not written in the Bible, what happened to her. Just like that black ant, I don't know how he communicated, but he got somehow back to that place, and they're all on their way. And I just want to say to you, my friend, if you're a child of God today, you ought to thank God for His grace. Yeah, the mercy of God's been extended. We can have the grace of God given to us. Your greatest need is salvation. You need Jesus. If you're saved by the grace of God, say amen. Amen. If you're not saved today, we can take a Bible before you leave and show you how to be saved today. But if you are saved and you're facing situations in your life, you're facing problems in your life or even sin habits in your life, you know what you need to do? You need to reckon them dead and you need to go to Christ. Ask God for forgiveness. Repent of your sin and get right with God. You know what you need to do. If there's something wrong, you know what that situation is. You know what that problem is. Take it to the Lord. Amen. When you take it to the Lord, transfer it to Him. Come unto me, all you labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. In the time of the Bible days, when Jesus gave this story, they were using oxen to plow with. And a yoke would put a couple oxen together. And now if you put oxen on a yoke, you know what that means? The oxen no longer has control of it. The owner or the master, the one that put him in the yoke, has control over him. It represents authority. It represents concern. And so the one that put him in the yoke, what he's saying is, hey, no matter what you're facing, no matter what your need is, no matter what your issue is, no matter what your problem is, you yoke up with me. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If God be for us, who can be against us? Every need can be supplied. Listen, He may not take away your issue, but He'll have grace to sustain you. He will assist you in your time of need. He will help you to cry out to Him. He'll be there to help you. Paul said he prayed three times for his thorn in the flesh to be taken away. He said, I prayed thrice about this. And God said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in thy weakness. And what he's saying, I know better than you do, Paul, what you need. And I've got things in control, and I've got things under control. Even though you seem like you're out of control, I've got everything where it needs to be. The sovereign God. So he says, transfer it to him. Give it to him. You know what we do? We go to the altar, Pastor. We pray about it, and we go back with the same worries, the same frets and concerns. Here's what I want to say to you this morning. This is not name it, claim it Christianity. This is the truth of God's word. You come to Jesus. You trust him by faith to save you. You trust him by faith to keep you saved. You trust him by faith to give you daily sustenance. You trust him by faith to give you the strength for the journey that lies ahead in your life. We're directed by his word, led by his spirit, following after his servant as he proclaims God's word here, and others come in to proclaim God's word. Listen, we may not have the same personalities. We have the same God. We have the same Bible. We have the same Holy Ghost, and God's still working no matter who the spokesman is. So he relates here that he wants to supply those needs. So you transfer it. You give it over to him. You yoke up with him. Let him take it. It's called synergy. When two oxen are put together, they can lift more than one can. When you yoke up with Jesus Christ, he's got everything under control. And then at the end of it all, you can just trust him with the results. Because if you take it to him like you're supposed to, and you say, I'm going to transfer this to you, God. It's not my burden. It's your burden. It's, you know, I belong to you. You help me out, God. And if he says no, that's okay. He's still God, right? If he takes it away, that's great. If he lets you have strength for that journey, that's great. His grace is always sufficient to assist, to sustain, to strengthen, to help in all of our times of need. We just have to trust him with the results. Let me give you one more story. I just got another one to tell. Being the oldest of six kids, my dad planted a garden every year when I was growing up. I was about 10 years old, and my dad, he would say, your job basically is to go down this row. He would take a stake, and he would have a string on it, and he would stake out a row, and he said, I want you to take a hoe, and I want you to go right down that string. Right down that string, I want you to hoe a line. He says, and about 2.5 feet apart, they'd have a rototiller be chopping the ground up, you know, and then there'd be another row. So, Brother Dominique, I just keep doing that. Almost tore it up, preacher, sorry. I just keep doing that from time to time, and you can't bend on the hoe too much or break it, you know, being lazy. You got to make sure you keep digging. Well, I was doing a row one day, and as I was doing it, there was a great big impediment in that row. I thought, well, I'll just move the row. Dad said, you can't move the row. I've already got it set out. You can't move the row. He said, you got to get that out. So I got me a pry bar, and I started prying on that thing. And I looked at that thing, and I thought, it's growing on me. The rock really wasn't growing. It's just getting uncovered. And the more you uncovered, the bigger it was. Hey, by the way, has anything been ever uncovered in your life? Got a little big on you? What are you going to do with it? Let me tell you what happened. I saw that thing, and my dad stopped a couple rows over, and he wiped his perspiration. He looked over, and he said, you going to get that rock out, son? I said, yes, sir. My dad's watching now. I got to get it out. So I bent over, and I tried to get it, and I picked it up off the ground, and it dropped again to the ground. After I tried a couple other times, he said, use all your strength. I said, Dad, I'm using all my strength. He said, well, try it again. So I went down, and I thought, I'll grunt this time. That might help me. And I grabbed that rock, you know, picked it up, dropped it again. And my dad just smiled and looked over at me and said, son, if you'd use all your strength, you could get that rock out. And I thought, how do you know if I use all my strength and get that rock out? Who do you think you are anyway? And I'm not saying this out loud because I know what that means. Board meetings, amen? But the reality was I couldn't pick up this rock. And my dad looked over and said, son, if you use all your strength, you'll be able to get that rock out. And I said, Dad, I'm using all my strength. He said, son, you're not using all your strength. He said, I am your father. You've never once asked me to help you or assist you in this matter. I said, Dad, would you help me? And together we picked up the rock. We put it in the wagon and we towed it away. I learned a lesson that day. Oh, I didn't know it was a spiritual lesson at that time. But everything in my life of experience, Pastor, I use from time to time as God speaks to me about it, about what I face in my own life. I pastored 22 years. There's heartache in people's lives. There's sadness and sorrow and suffering. There's death, which is an interloper. There's all kinds of heartache that takes place in people's lives. You rejoice when they rejoice and you weep when they weep. You spend a lot of time with them. But I can have the same message given to, no matter what their faces look like, they're the same souls that Christ died for, the same people that God wants to reach out to. And he says, I want you to know that if you'll take this and you'll work together, listen, either you carry these burdens or he does. One of us will. Who's on the throne? Who's the authority? If you transfer it to him, he makes it a lot easier to handle. And his grace is always sufficient, no matter what we do in life, no matter where we are. And so all I can say is, God, I trust you. This woman knew she needed help. She also knew that Jesus could help her. And she was made new when she touched him. If Jesus has touched you, have you been made new by salvation? Don't ever get over that. Are there situations in your life? Is there heartaches in your life? Are there issues in your life that you're overwhelmed with? Some sadness, some heartache, some trial, some situation? You know what I say to you this morning? He's still giving an invitation. Come unto me. He gave you the invitation, you got saved, right? Yes, amen. He gives invitation daily to come to the throne of grace. He gives invitation daily to study the word, to grow in grace and in knowledge. Invitation daily to be in the house of God, to be with the people of God, to commune together with him. So whatever you're facing in life, God can supply every need if you'll trust him. May not be what you want, but he's always right and he's always good. Every need supplied. What's your need today? If you know what it is, why don't you just trust him with it? Take it to an old-fashioned altar and say, Father, the devil reminds me of my past. I thank God it's under the blood. I'm facing some heartaches, but you'll give me the strength. Whatever it might be, beloved, God can give you that strength for the journey if you'll just trust him. Take it to him, transfer it to him, and trust him, and follow after his righteousness. And all goodness shall be added unto thee. Thank you for listening. Let's bow for prayer.